This is Amber Ray.
And Rusty Tanton.
And you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show that likes to keep a piece on the side. Today's October 6th, and on October 1st, Rusty and I went to see The Thing About Men at the Horizon Theater. We talked to three of the actors from the play about the play itself and drama.
About their careers.
And life.
And kind of how they got there.
And there was one little minor political rant, which is always good.
Yeah, it was really fun.
So here it is.
Okay, so we're here with Brandon, who's one of the stars of The Thing About Men at the Horizon Theater. Brandon, could you tell us about your role in the play?
Well, me and another young lady named Abby Parker, we play man and woman. We basically cover all of the side characters. There's three main characters, and then she and I cover everyone they encounter, like their waiters, their cab drivers, and delivery people and stuff.
So you're like every man?
Yes, I've got...
How does that make you feel?
It's great. I get to do different accents, different costumes, mustaches.
How large is the cast overall?
Five people.
Okay, so there's sort of two lead characters, and then you guys sort of do the...
There's two lead men and one lead woman, and then Abby and I are all of the people in the outskirts. Yeah.
What drew you into this play?
This is the same authors who did I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change, which is a huge hit here at the Horizon. Very funny, very upbeat. So that's one thing that drew me to the play. Another thing is I've never worked here at the Horizon before, so that was exciting. And Heidi Klein was the director. I've worked with her a few times. I enjoy working with her, and that's the third thing. So.
Hey, what other plays have you been in before?
A lot. Most recently, I did the Fantastics at the Shakespeare Tavern. I've worked at the Alliance Theater, did My Fair Lady and Crimes of the Heart. I work a lot at the Aurora Theater in Duluth, and now they're in Lawrenceville. So,
have you mostly done acting in the Metro Atlanta area? Or
yes, almost exclusively.
Almost
yes.
Exclusively. Mm-hmm. How many performances of this have occurred so far here?
This will be the... Today will be the 15th official performances. We had some previews prior to opening as well.
And cool. What kind of adjustments do you make from the first night when it comes out to, say, now when it's been going on for a little while?
Well, one of the benefits of having preview shows, I think we had three preview shows prior to the opening, which meant we could do the actual show in front of an audience. Mm-hmm. And that helps us to find out where the laughs are and where the laughs aren't. And so we make a lot of adjustments before we open. And then after we open, hopefully the only things that we adjust are making it tighter, trying to make it fresh and new each time so it, you know, doesn't get boring for us or the audience. So.
All right. Well, thanks for talking to us here. We enjoyed it very much. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
All right. Now we are here still at the Horizon Theater with one of the stars of the show tonight. Introduce yourself, please.
I'm Sarah Ansager. I play Lucy.
And can you tell us a little bit about your role?
Yes. Lucy is a woman who's been married for 15 years to her husband, Tom. He's a bit of a philanderer. I think she gets a little tired of it and decides to have an affair of her own. That's a little bit about my character.
Okay. What drew you to this role?
Working at the Horizon was one. Working with Heidi Klein, the director, was another. The I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change crew who wrote this script, that was something else that was very appealing. I'm also a woman of a certain age, although I am not having an affair, nor is, I hope, my husband. But it was a chance to sort of explore something fun, and I get to make out with a hot guy.
Well, that's always a plus. And how long have you been involved in theater in general?
In general, most of my life. In Atlanta, 16 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. And
We've heard a lot about Heidi Klein. Is that her name? We've heard it mentioned a lot. Is she an Atlanta playwright?
She is an Atlanta director and actress.
Okay.
She has directed probably most of the hits in the last 10 years in Atlanta, all over the place, at the Atlanta Shakespeare Tavern, at the Aurora Theater, here at the Horizon. She and her husband Hudson had Solstice Repertory, which is a very successful theater that ran for several years until they, like me, have children. And it's really hard to keep a theater company going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have friends who are running a small theater outfit up in Roswell, actually, and
a community theater group,
and it's very time consuming.
They don't have lives.
Yeah, they don't have lives. So.
And this show has taken a lot of my life away from my family,
and you
which is strange.
Two kids,
I have two children.
How do you manage all that?
Babysitters. is one, and I'm very lucky now that we're into production, now that we're, you know, doing the show, I'm with my children all day long until the end of dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody else gives them a bath and reads them a book and puts them to bed, but I really feel like I'm giving them most of their day. So I feel like I'm there for the important parts, although I miss singing goodnight songs.
Well, I guess, do you have any other questions?
You say most of your work has been in Metro Atlanta area the last 16 years or so. Do you ever branch out outside the area, or?
I have been offered work outside the area. Now that I have children, I don't really prefer to do that.
What would you say some of your favorite work in the past before coming to this play has been?
Oh, gosh. I loved the production of The Tempest that I did at the Atlanta Shakespeare Tavern.
Mm-hmm.
I loved doing Gypsy at the Actors Express. And I loved doing A Grand Night for Singing up at Georgia Ensemble Theater in Roswell. And I did Much Ado About Nothing with Solstice Repertory down at Seven Stages for a while. Oh, and I got to work with Joseph Chaykin as an understudy who went on in the last show he ever directed, which was Broken Glass.
So. Do you have any ideas of what you're going to do after this? What's next?
A break. A break is next after this. And then we'll see. I'm kind of down to two shows a year at the most, and I've done my two. So
you're done.
That's it. Forget me.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks for talking to us.
All right, so we're here with David here at the Horizon Theater, starring in
The Thing About Men.
Men.
And are you the philanderer in this play?
The philanderer.
No, he's the lover.
Oh, okay, better.
Yeah, I'm the lover.
Okay, so you're sort of the side man after she decides to go after, you know.
You're the hot guy that she gets to make out with?
I like her.
Yeah, a little better.
I like her description.
You're a little better.
Oh, yes, I am Sebastian, who's an artist, a struggling artist, who Lucy decides that, we never actually go into whether she actually decides to have an affair. Obviously, she did. The play doesn't address how we met, but we have come together and we have fallen in deep like, if not love, very quickly. And that's how the play begins with us already in a relationship.
How did you get attracted to this role?
Ooh, because I was an actor who needed a job.
That's actually a good answer.
Yeah, how did I get attracted to the role? I didn't know the show before I auditioned for it. I found out about the audition a day after they had already started auditions, so I just came and I read for it, and I did actually like the role. There are a lot of similarities to Sebastian and myself, so it was nice to have a role like this, and especially because I'm new to Atlanta theater. I've only done one other show in Atlanta. I just came here in February, which was at the Aurora Theater. I did their final production in that space out there before they moved to Lawrenceville, Guys and Dolls. But this is my official, if you will, introduction to Atlanta
audiences. Right. You've been all over the world,
yeah, we
right?
read in your bio, China and Europe and places like that.
Traveled a bit, yeah.
What about your travels? What?
Yeah, tell us about that.
Where to start, I'm sure, but, China, Europe, what's been your favorite out of some of the places you've traveled around the world?
Oh, my favorite. Actually, I've been thinking about that a little bit recently, and I think I prefer Europe to Asia. I did really enjoy Asia, but Europe just has a certain something that you can't find. That sense of history, that the slightly different... the value system slightly different, you know, not quite as materialistic as we are in the States. Worldview is just a little bit broader than a lot of people's, you know, than the way we traditionally grow up. And, you know, we are getting better. You know, we're getting a little bit more responsible with our place in the world. I think citizens more so than the government, obviously. That's another conversation. But,
you can get political.
You know, we are, we as, you know, and he's partly to, I won't say to blame, he's probably responsible for what I consider the average American's awakening to our place in global society, because now we're forced to deal with the fact that people see us as Americans and they don't like us, and we have to deal with that. So we have to be more aware of how we're perceived in the world, partly due to his mismanagement of our country.
Did you run into any of that kind of stuff as an American traveling abroad?
Weekly.
Not daily?
Weekly. When I was in China, I like to tell this story. A lot of times in China, you know, I went out after the show. I was singing in clubs. After the club gets out about 2 a.m. or whatever, and you want to go out, you know, dancing or whatever afterward. And so you get back home, change your clothes, you get out. And none of the taxi drivers in the town that I was in spoke English. So you have little cards, destination cards from the clubs you want to go. You pick up a business card. One side is English, one side is Chinese. So you get in and you show them the card in Chinese, and this is the address, this is where you want to go. And so many of them could not speak a word of English except for George Bush, bad. That happened to me in China. That happened to me in Thailand. That happened to me in Indonesia. Yes, because the highest concentration of Muslims is in Indonesia.
Yeah.
So many people, that's all they spoke. If they didn't speak anything else, they said, George Bush, bad.
That's a fundamental phrase.
That's sort of like learning cerveza.
Exactly. You know, and I got that. And it was surprising, but it was just really an awakening, you know, to realize that people, once you open your mouth and people can see where you're from, you may run into some problems if you're not careful, you know, and that was a real awakening, and that was one of the best lessons I got from traveling. It's just to have a broader view of the world, just in general, our place in it, and being able to compare our lifestyles, our values to everyone else's, you know.
One other thing, what's different about playing an audience in, say, Europe versus China versus America? How do they react differently to certain parts of the play, maybe, or of a given play?
Well, just general, I can speak a little bit about audiences. I was doing more music in my travels. I was doing acting when I finished drama school in England. I went to the Bristol Old Vic Theatre School in Bristol, England. And so I was doing theater in and around the UK. So I can talk about that if you want to compare theater to theater, acting to acting. I think that both audiences are intelligent about theater. Anywhere you go, you have a theater crowd who know theater. And if people have been going to theater for a while, they just become a little bit more intellectual about the show. And they look for issues that are a little bit deeper. They tend not to just go, maybe to be entertained merely. They want to learn something. They want to, you know, to be provoked. They want to have something to talk about, something to think about. And I think generally I would find that in Britain, because you have the West End. I was in London, you have the West End, which is like our Broadway. If you want to compare those audiences, I think that it's similar. You have people who just want to go out to be seen. You have people who want to go out and buy the most expensive seats, and that's it, and go to the hottest shows and whatever. And you have that in New York, obviously, as well. But I think they're quite similar in that there are people out there who just love theater and respect it, you know, and will support it and respect it on all levels. You know, in the UK, they have pub theater. You walk into a bar and you don't know upstairs is a little theater, you know, and they'll be doing a show, you know, and I thought that was the coolest thing, you know, and a lot
sort of
people
like you have there. A guy with a guitar in a bar here.
Yeah, kind of, much. And it's like people will go there. And the first time I went to see a pub theater, it was just like a rickety old room, dark room, but it had a stage and people were doing a real show and it was intimate and it was real, you know, and they had that all over London, you know, and just like you have, I suppose, in New York, you have off Broadway and off, you know, where you'll get these really small houses and people doing things that they just do it from the passion, you know, for the passion of it. And I think that's beautiful, you know. And one thing they have about in England, they premiere things just outside of England, in suburbs, just outside, around 25 miles around England. They'll go out and they'll premiere things.
Around
London, yeah, they'll premiere things. And then they'll bring it into the city, the more successful it gets, and hopefully get to the West End. I thought that was cool.
Very cool. All right, thanks for talking to us.
Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
Okay, and now we're here with
Lisa Adler, co-artistic director of Horizon Theater Company.
Okay, so what goes into being artistic director for a production like this?
Well, this is the final show of our 22nd season of Contemporary Plays here, and I guess what I do as artistic director, I'm a producer as well, so I'm heavily involved in casting, and of course we select the play, and then help with sort of, artistic control would be the best way to put it at the end of the show, and I'm involved in the end of rehearsals and all of the staffing and everything, and I'm also run the administrative side of the theater and keep everybody going upstairs.
And how long have you been involved with Horizon?
I'm the founder, so I've been doing it.
Oh, are you?
Since 1983.
Oh, since the beginning.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I've been doing it my entire adult life.
And what has changed, or can you talk about a little bit about
the evolution?
Yeah.
Over the operating whole the theater time period and the kind of plays that have come in and.
A lot has changed over the years. We have, the entire time we've been doing contemporary plays, probably the nature of the type of plays that we have done has changed somewhat over the years. When we started, we've always done new plays that are new to Atlanta Southeastern World Premieres. We've always worked with a small ensemble of actors. When we first started, we had a more real ensemble, and then over time, we came more and more committed to working on new plays and doing work for diverse audiences, so it became really difficult to have an actual ensemble of actors. Instead, we work sort of with a core of actors. There are a lot of actors that work with us on a regular basis, and then we have a wide, diverse audience, so we do a lot of different kinds of things for a lot of different kinds of audiences. And I think the thing that's probably changed the most is the development of new work at the theater. We started doing mostly plays that have originated somewhere else, and now we do a pretty good mix of things that we have originated ourselves and things that have come from somewhere else. We used to say we do the best in contemporary theater. I no longer exactly say that because I don't like a lot of the contemporary theater that's being done in New York. So we don't do some of the plays that are the best of contemporary theater because I don't think they are the best, even though New York thinks they are.
Hey, well, this is in New York.
That's right, and audiences are very different. And what I've sort of articulated is contemporary theater with intelligence, humor, hope, and heart is what I like to call what we do, and also about connecting people to each other, their communities, and the world. That's what I think the theater does and what we try to do. And so every play that we're doing now, I'm trying to articulate what we're trying to say, who we're trying to say it to, and make sure we're trying to say it in some way that impacts people positively and uplifts and helps them move forward in their lives.
So what drew you to select this play?
We had done a play called I Love You, Appropriate Not Change. We did it 3 times over 3 years and sold out almost all the shows for 3 years, and this was the newest play by these guys. And when I read it, I actually liked the book a lot more than I liked the book for I Love You, which was more of a review sketches about love and marriage over 30 years, and this is more of a real storybook, story musical, and also it's contemporary. It's what we do here. I usually tell people we're sort of the safe urban adventure, so it's a little offbeat, but not so offbeat that that people can't relate to it. Or
nobody's going to storm out.
Well, not for the most part, I would say. Yeah, they're coming, and it's not something it's not something you're going to see necessarily somewhere else,
right?
In the burbs at one of the suburban theaters, and this is the case too. I don't think other places would produce it, and it's a little too offbeat or small for the Alliance to produce.
Right.
So that's sort of what our niche is, I think.
Okay.
So it can work.
Any other questions?
Good.
All right. Thanks for talking to us.
Sure.
About Men is playing through November 12th at the Horizon Theater. Call 404-584-7450 or visit horizontheater.com for ticket information. The song you heard in this podcast was Flux by Drop Trio, available only on magnatune.com.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you have a question, comment, or drunken rant, leave us a voicemail by calling 678-389-9441. Who knows, it might be featured in a podcast. You can also email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com.